5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, fitness, nutrition, and wellness. Now in its 34th year, your host of Dr. Health Radio is David Snow, who is a health expert but not a doctor. And while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their area of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a medical condition that requires treatment, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the snowman himself, David Snow.
The chef of an upscale restaurant managed to collide with a waiter one day and spilled coffee all over their computer. The liquid poured into the processing unit and resulted in some dramatic crackling and popping sounds. After sopping up the mess, they gathered around the terminal as the computer was turned back on in the restaurant. "Oh, please let it work," pleaded the guilt-ridden waiter who collided with the chef. A waitress replied, "Should be faster than ever. That was a double espresso you spilled on it." Welcome to your caffeine-free radio show. Who needs something in your cup to wake up when you have us on your radio? It's the Snowman with you, David Snow, keeping you cool and healthy. And we thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend, which we always hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. Today on the show, how to get well and stay well with some wellness tweaks. Edie Summers is my guest. She's the author of The Memory of Health, A Journey to Well-Being. And we'll talk about her 30 years of experience and training in holistic medicine and health. And we'll talk everything from sleep, one of the cornerstones of good health, sleep, exercise, and nutrition, kind of the three pillars there, as well as the top five lists she has on lifestyle tweaks, as well as self-care and much more. So stay tuned for an hour of information to be a healthier person at the end of this hour than you were at the beginning. And speaking of sleep, here's a rousing debate that goes on quite a bit, and it's between sleep and exercise. Which is more important if you had to choose between one or the other? Well, on the sleep side, a 12% increase in your risk of early death if you regularly get 6 hours or less of sleep, according to the scientific journal Sleep. On the other hand, exercise, 41% drop in all-cause mortality if you get 150 minutes of cardio and 2 strength sessions a week, according to the British Medical Journal. Back to sleep. Increasing sleep from 6.5 to 10 hours can enhance athletic endurance and performance, shortening sprint times, according to the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. And on the exercise note, regular exercise improves sleep duration and quality. So you can see they kind of go together, right? You can't have one without the other. If you finish your session at least 2 hours before bedtime, that avoids a spike in endorphins, helps you sleep. Other major gains in your health when it comes to sleep: better immunity, less stress, a younger heart, and laser focus. On the other side of the coin, exercise will give you improved moods. It helps fight dementia, as well as stronger muscles and cardio, of course, and greater sex drive, as well as more willpower. So, the verdict? Let's get to one more here. Starving your body in sleep or of sleep, and you're more likely to indulge in late-night high-carbohydrate snacks than those 8-hour sleepers, according to the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And then in sleep, it's all in timing, according to the International Journal of Obesity. People who work out before noon lost more weight than those who exercise after 3 p.m. So the verdict, sleep wins. The two are so intertwined, though, you know, because sleep begets good exercise and exercise begets good sleep. So it's like nutrition and fitness. You can't have one without the other. All right. Speaking of health, some timeless health tips to live by. And, sometimes the old advice stands the hands of time just fine. talking about Leonardo da Vinci's health tips. Yes, that original Renaissance man, when he wasn't painting, sculpting, or inventing, he was he was a pretty health-conscious guy. He was a vegetarian and lived a pretty healthy life back in the early 1500s. But here's some of his rules for good health. One, do not eat when you have no appetite, and dine lightly. Chew well, and whatever you take in should be well-cooked and of simple ingredients. Now, keep in mind, this is over 500 years ago. He who takes medicine is ill-advised, so I guess maybe they were using too many drugs back then, too. Four, beware anger and avoid stuffy air. That's a good timeless tip. Stay standing a while when you get up from a meal. Better yet, go for a stroll after your meal. Number six, neither delay nor prolong your visit to the toilet. Be regular. Seven, be well covered at night and rest your head and keep your mind cheerful. And finally, avoid wantonness and keep to this diet. Anyway, so much for Leonardo da Vinci's health tips, kind of unusual way to, some unusual tips for good health. But, you know, he's not noted as a health expert, but nevertheless, they are common sense good health tips. All right, in the food pharmacy, nuts linked to longer lifespan, as well as health span. Eating nuts every day reduced the death risk by, or death rate rather, by 20% compared to not eating nuts, according to a Harvard study. A higher nut consumption, they say, was linked also to a reduced death rate or death due to cancer, heart disease, and lung disease. So make sure your nuts are not embalmed, though, with salt and, you know, oils and added seasonings and everything, because if possible, you want to eat them raw, except for peanuts. That's the only exception, because those should be heated or roasted because of the natural toxins in peanuts. But I keep my nuts cold, and that way they're always crunchy without having to roast them, keep them in the refrigerator, which denatures, if you roast them and overheat them, they denatures the healthy fats and destroys some of the vitamins, depending on the nut. So try having a few varieties in your refrigerator to keep things interesting. I have, let's see, Brazil nuts in my refrigerator door. I have pecans, pistachios, and there's another. Oh, yeah, walnuts. Yeah, walnuts are good. Anyway. All right, over the years, I've always advised you to go for the deep colors when it comes to nutrition and choosing your foods, providing they're not artificially colored, of course. But the pigments are those beneficial compounds, polyphenols, anthocyanins, and others that go way beyond vitamins and minerals in improving your health. As long as they're not, colored or refined. So, but there's, I don't often talk about white foods, and as long as there's not, we're not talking about white bread or white rice or white pasta, but there's some white foods that are nutritious as well. Cauliflower and winter vegetables, parsnips, and then omega-3 white fish comes to mind. Some protein-packed cheeses, ricotta, or mozzarella, and then nut milks too. Nut milks are healthy if they're not too sweetened with, not doctored up with a lot of sweeteners and additives. Sesame seeds and other vegetables, potatoes, etc. And of course, the problem with potatoes is 70% of all the potatoes Americans consume are fried or processed and tater tots and french fries and everything. All right, let's go to the fitness file. All right, high-intensity interval training is good for heart patients, too. We talked about heart health for the entire month of February. We had different guest speakers on, but high-intensity and interval training, the HIIT, so-called HIIT training, helps build your aerobic capacity, of course, but many physicians are hesitant to allow their patients to engage in this type of exercise because, if you have cardiovascular disease, it can possibly cause abnormal heart rhythms or injuries, etc. But an analysis by researchers from the University of Queensland in Australia concluded that patients suffering from coronary artery disease, as well as heart failure, hypertension, and metabolic syndrome, benefited more from the high-intensity exercise than from prolonged moderate-intensity exercise. So patients actually gained 200% greater benefits when practicing high-intensity exercise. And along the same lines, a University of Virginia study found that a single bout of intense exercise improved blood sugar control better than moderate-intensity exercise or, of course, no exercise. And they examined pre-diabetic adults and showed the importance of regular intense exercise for promoting metabolic health. So not only muscular health and cardio health, but also metabolic health. Oh, elsewhere in the fitness file, some walking facts for you. The drop in diabetes risk from walking 40 minutes every day, 68% drop in your risk of diabetes. Amount of daily activity like walking needed to reduce your stroke risk by 20%, only 9 minutes a day. So if you don't have 40 minutes, go to 9 and you're still reducing your risk of disease or stroke. How many Americans say taking walks help reduce their anxiety levels? 87% of you say that. And 50% improvement in digestion from taking a short stroll after meals. And finally, how many more steps we take each day in the spring than in the fall? 1,000 steps more in the spring than you do in the fall season. So no matter how much spring in your step there is, there are more steps in the spring because of, no doubt, the better weather. All right, finally, in the Funny Bone Pharmacy. All right, students in the adult French class where the woman taught included quite a few healthcare professionals. During one class, she was talking or coughing so badly that a doctor in the class raised her hand. "If you like, I could give you a prescription for that," she offered. Another hand shot up. "I could fill it for you," said a pharmacist's assistant. Not to be outdone, a paramedic who was in the class added, "And I can take you there to pick it up." So I guess you could say that the teacher was ready when the students appeared, right? All right, a couple of humorous T-shirt slogans I saw. "I don't like morning people." Or mornings, or people. Oh, no. Okay. "I advise you not to mess with me." Oh, I like this one. Here's a T-shirt that's right on the top. "I advise you not to mess with me. I know karate, kung fu, judo, taekwondo, jujitsu, and 28 other dangerous words." And finally, "Never, under any circumstances, take a sleeping pill and a laxative on the same night." Okay. All right, that's it for the Funny Bone Pharmacy. When we come back, we'll have Edie Summers talking about some tweaks you can make to be a better, healthier, happier person. Back after this with more information for your good health. So don't go anywhere if you want to stay healthy.
At Essential Formulas, we provide the immune essentials for your family's health this winter. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics and Reg Active. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics is recognized as a worldwide leader in probiotic digestive health. Since 70% of your immune cells reside in your gut, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics have an impressive effect on immune health too. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contain over 500 postbiotic metabolites shown to help support immune function. Certified vegetarian, free of gluten, dairy, and GMOs, a powerful immune option. RegActive formulas help boost levels of glutathione, the body's most essential antioxidant, which decreases as we age. Maintaining glutathione levels is key in overall health protection. Be proactive about your immune health. Look for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics and RegActive at natural health retailers and online today.
Noni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Noni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Noni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Noni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Noni Fruit Leather and Lavender Noni Lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Noni Lotion and Fruit Leather for improved health and energy.
Wakanaga of America, makers of Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, knows that most of us are having to stretch every dollar a little further these days. But that doesn't mean you should have to choose between saving money and your family's health. It's important, as well as cost-effective, to choose safe and multifunctional nutritional supplements. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been a superior cardiovascular supplement for over 50 years, backed by over 900 published scientific papers. Aged garlic extract has been shown to provide many cardiovascular benefits, including lowering blood pressure and improving arterial stiffness, and strong immune support. Kyolic Formula 103 includes vitamin C, mushrooms, and astragalus for immune and heart health, and Kyolic Formula 152 with omega-3s and vitamins D3, K2, E, and B6 for heart, bone, and immune health. Two excellent options that provide multiple health benefits for your family's health. Look for Kyolic at your local natural health store and online.
Welcome back to Free Range Organic Non-GMO Antibiotic Health Talk Radio. It's the Snowman with you, David Snow. Keeping you cool and healthy. Thanks so much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend, which we always hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. Today on the show, my guest, Edie Summers, author of The Memory of Health, A Journey to Well-Being. She's also a wellness coach, has 30 years of experience in training in holistic wellness, and also is an instructor in the field. And we welcome her to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning, Edie. How the health are you?
Hi, David. I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
Excellent, thank you. Now, you overcame chronic fatigue syndrome in your early 20s, I believe it was, caused by a ski accident. Is that what motivated you to help others to a better or a higher level of health?
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's why I got into the natural foods industry. I went to see a naturopath. After physical therapy stopped working to get my scar tissue down in my knee, and that opened up a whole new world for me. And I started to heal once I learned about natural health and alternative health and also integrative health over time.
So necessity was the mother of invention, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you contend that mistakes can be our greatest teachers. How does that determine our mental and emotional health?
Well, I feel that, I mean, I don't know if I would call them mistakes, but they're learning experiences. Anything that maybe doesn't work out the first time is an opportunity to revisit it. And sometimes, you know, hindsight is 20/20, and it takes some time to get clarity on a situation or, you know, what you feel like was a mistake. But ultimately, it's just about growth. And so you can always learn from anything that's happened and then, you know, try again and do it differently the next time. And hopefully, you know, things will get better.
I have enough hindsight. I just need more foresight. The last time I went to the ophthalmologist, I asked him, I said, my eyesight's good, but can you do something for my foresight? And he wasn't able to help me. I don't know why. But
maybe intuition. I think that, you know, we all have that sense of, you know, maybe what path we should be taking. It's maybe just getting more in tune with that over time.
Right. Yeah, that's we got to fine tune our just realizing that we can fine tune our lives in all mm-hmm. areas. And I think that's what your book kind of achieves is that. While you talk about self-care, let's get into mm-hmm. that. I was going to leave that for a little later in the program, but mm-hmm. let's talk about it now because self-care is more important than healthcare or whatever insurance policy mm-hmm. you have. I mean, self-care always comes before your doctor's healthcare or, you know, any type of therapy you might be getting or treatments.
Absolutely. And I remember somebody saying, I don't remember who it was, but they said that self-care is healthcare.
Yeah,
and
of course.
I definitely believe that. So you and I probably both know this, that most chronic conditions and most health or wellness challenges can be best addressed by what we can do ourselves. Mm-hmm. So self-care is an umbrella term. It can include stress management, also nutrition and fitness and managing your stress, things like that. And there's so much control that we have over how we feel, and we can kind of influence even how our genes express themselves. And even if you've been dealt what you feel like are some bad cards, you know, in terms of some challenges that you might be experiencing in terms of health, you have a way more control over anything that you think you do. And self-care is a big part of it. And it's not just bubble baths. It's way, way more than that.
I've never heard the term bubble bath in probably years on my show before, but that's interesting. You know, that's a good stress relieving. Yeah, in fact, I was it's funny you mentioned that, Edie, because I was just thinking that when I was taking a shower late last night, I thought, I wish I had a tub so I could take a bath. I wasn't thinking bubble bath, but, I have a shower area, a stall instead of a tub. But anyway, and getting back to self-care, you know, people are already self-medicating, but unfortunately they mistake self-care with self-medications, whether it's sugar, caffeine, alcohol, digital addictions, other things they use for crutches or, quick pick-me-ups. And so, I mean, that's a whole other program. And we've talked about, drug addiction as well as food addiction and other types of addiction with psychologists and psychiatrists. But let's move on your some of the other topics of your book. I know you're big into exercise, and actually you were a skier before, you had the chronic fatigue and the accident and everything. But tell us how, because, it's nutrition, exercise, and sleep. We want to talk about the three triads, because that's like a three-legged stool. If you don't have one, the stool falls over, and so will you. So before you came on, I did an article on sleep versus exercise, and it turned out sleep is more important than exercise. So let's talk about that as one of the cornerstones of good health, because I know you've done a lot of research and you have many clients over the years that you've improved their sleep hygiene and sleep habits and just in general health because of improving the quality of sleep.
Sure. So first, let me answer your question about exercise. And I usually like to think of it in terms of movement, because some people, they get kind of freaked out by the term exercise. And if they have chronic fatigue, they can't do traditional exercise. But you definitely want to move. And movement or exercise, if you want it, whatever you want to call it, that can help you sleep better. And there's so much I could say about movement and exercise, but if you can get some movement or exercise into your day, it helps your lymph system. That's kind of the best way that it can kind of help it to keep it clean. And it can improve your mood, and it can help you sleep. And then in terms of sleep, yes, you and I were talking about this, and I would definitely agree, if you had to choose between sleep and exercise, I would definitely choose sleep. And so many people are struggling with sleep today, and the CDC says like one out of every three people isn't sleeping well, and I kind of feel like it's even higher than that.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
And you were mentioning sleep hygiene. So did you want me to maybe talk about?
Yeah, let's talk about them. Actually, the triad comes to mind too, talking about the pillars of good sleep. And that would be, well, let me have you add to the three that I'll mention. And one is a quiet environment, quiet bedroom, as well as a dark bedroom and a cool bedroom. But take it away from there.
Yes, and also, and I want to say on the dark part is really important, because if you're, I learned this early on years and years ago, to keep my bedroom dark and cool, like on the cooler side, like you were saying, because light cues your body to wake up, and darkness is going to start producing melatonin. So if you can find a way to make your room darker, like with darker curtains or even like clocks, can wake you
That's
up
right.
more. and you won't sleep as deeply. And then part of sleep hygiene is also technology. It's staying off of technology closer to bedtime. Mm-hmm. And that can be a real challenge for people in this modern age that we're in. But it's definitely considered part of sleep hygiene. And also managing your stress during the day. And there are different ways that you can do that can help you sleep better too. So there are several components in sleep hygiene, but some of the bigger ones are, kind of what you're eating and keeping your, getting exposure to early morning sunlight, but
right.
then minimizing light at night,
mm-hmm.
And really trying to stay off those screens or, some technology, whether it's with TV screens or computer screens or phone screens, you can dim the light more. And they say to stay off it for a couple of hours, but, I find that even an hour helps just to kind of
sure. yeah.
let your brain,
And realistically, people are so addicted to their phones that even asking them to stay off it for an hour before bedtime, that's a big ask. So... unfortunately.
But talk about self-care. I mean, that can be a self-care habit that can make a huge difference.
Sure.
And, I mean, if you want to sleep better, which I think a lot of us do, then, we have to train ourselves to do things a little differently. Like if you're not sleeping well, then, it might be an opportunity to look at some of your self-care routines and like, well, what am I maybe doing that's maybe contributing to me not sleeping well, like higher stress levels during the day or,
mm-hmm.
Staying on my phone at night and, scrolling when I could be letting my body and brain decompress.
Scrolling when you could be rolling in the hay or in the covers and the blankets. So, on that note, Edie, we need to take a bottom of the hour break. And when we come back, I want to ask you about the other pillar of nutrition or a pillar of health, rather, and that is nutrition.
Sure.
Which March being National Nutrition Month. And we'll also have you share your top five list of lifestyle tweaks, the top five list of that when we come back from Edie Summers, the author of The Memory of Health. We'll tell you how to get her book as well, A Journey to Well-Being. Back after this, so don't go anywhere. If you want to stay healthy, Dr. Health returns momentarily.
Stop breathing right now. No, really, hold your breath. This is how it feels when you're stuffed up due to colds, flu, pollen, dander, post-nasal drip, or any other reason. That's when you need clear saline nasal spray, the only spray with the power of xylitol. That simple saline solution you're using is only doing half the job. It's just rinsing. In multiple research studies, xylitol has been shown to reduce bacterial adhesion and help keep your nose moist and clean much longer than saline alone, making Clear more effective at washing away that nasty gunk in your nose. Clear is so powerful, it's been granted over 11 patents. So step up from that wimpy saline spray to something that actually works faster and better at getting you the relief you need to start breathing now. And if your doctor isn't talking to you about Clear for your congestion, maybe you need to get a new doctor. You don't just rinse your hands. Why would you just rinse your nose? Clear saline nasal spray with xylitol.
Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, as well as Amazon.com. For a complete list of retailers, visit clear.com. That's XLEAR.com.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Is getting a good night's sleep a challenge? Fortunately, there's a superior, fast-acting sleep formula called Tranquil Sleep from Natural Factors. This non-habit-forming supplement contains a unique combination of melatonin, 5-HTP, and L-theanine, which works in harmony with your body's natural sleep hormones. Tranquil Sleep can help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep sounder, and wake up refreshed, all without feeling drowsy in the morning. The key benefit comes from increasing the time spent in the deeper stages of sleep. It's only in these deeper levels of sleep that we truly experience the rejuvenation, regeneration, and recuperation that sleep provides. Even if you think you get a good night's sleep, give Tranquil Sleep a try. You might be surprised with how much better you've slept by waking up with more energy and enthusiasm to start your day. Learn more at naturalfactors.com.
Snow,
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 snow.
That is David. Excuse me, David Snow on your radio. We help you test positive for good health here on Dr. Health. And if you're just joining us, Edie Summers is my guest, the author of The Memory of Health. Why the name? It's not a book about memory, is it, Edie?
No, it's not, David, but it actually, originally, I was remembering what it felt like to feel well, but memory is also tied to mindfulness and what's considered a lucid state of being, so that has roots in Buddhist tradition. So I found that out after the fact, though. I had already kind of chosen that title just based on just remembering, you know, how I used to feel before my ski accident, and I developed chronic fatigue. So, and there's a possibility that I used to read Deepak Chopra's books.
We've had him on the show before. Yeah.
Oh, love him. Yeah. And he's so wise. And his book, Quantum Healing, there is a possibility that he talks about the memory of health in there. I haven't been able to find it looking back through that book, but or something in there may have triggered me to think of that title as well. So, because I was reading that book around the time that I started.
Yeah, it's a memorable title. So,
thank you. Yeah. And so is his book, Quantum Healing.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, my goodness.
I believe I have it somewhere in my library of 1,000-plus books. Anyway, hey, let's get to backtrack to sleep. During the break, I was talking to my producer, Radio Ryan, and he was saying, and he's in his 20s, and he was saying that, I said, Ryan, have you ever taken melatonin? Because I heard the Tranquil Sleep commercial, which is a great formula, which I took last night, by the way. It's melatonin, 5-HTP, and L-theanine, which helps to relax and help you sleep better and longer. But anyway, he says, I take it every night. And I said, what? You take melatonin every night? And he says, yeah, I can't sleep without it. And because he says he has ADHD. So it depends on the person. It's not necessarily age dependent, is it, as far as sleep supplements?
I don't think so. And actually, they're showing more and more that if you use a microdose of it, a very, very small amount, it stimulates your own melatonin production.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So, I think it can be really valuable for people. You have to kind of find the right dose and the right formula. And I was listening to that ad too, and that sounds like a great formula with melatonin, L-theanine, and was it 5-HTP?
Right.
I love all of those.
Yeah, 5-HTP, by the way, for people that aren't familiar with that nutrient, it's 5-hydroxytryptophan, and a lot of people remember tryptophan from the 70s and 80s. You know, it's the precursor to your sleep hormones and having just a good mental or brain balance, I should say. You know, it helps to make everything smooth as far as your thinking and feeling and sleeping. So, okay, let's move on to exercise. One thing that I wanted to mention when you were talking about the importance of exercise is the lymphatic system, because unlike the blood, we have the heart that pumps the blood throughout the body. The lymphatic system, there's only two ways that the lymphatic system is stimulated, and that one is massage and one is exercise and movement.
Yeah.
And so that's why movement is so very important and why exercise is so beneficial to our health, is because not only for musculoskeletal health and cardio and everything else, but also the lymphatic system is stimulated in that regard. So, and they're finding also that Alzheimer's and certain dementias respond to enhanced lymphatic system. So, anyway,
interesting. Yeah. That's really interesting to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because your brain, you know, the lymphatic system in the brain, and it helps to. One purpose of sleep is for house cleaning, right? It gets rid of all the dead cells. I mean, the cells that are senescent, or the brain cells that need nourishment and then recycling or elimination. So Anyway, that's a whole other product.
Yes, and that's kind of that's something that they learned, I think, pretty recently too. And so, yes, sleep is critical. Mm-hmm. And there's so many ways that exercise can help you sleep better and deeper. It doesn't have to be super intense either. I mean, one of my favorite things to do is like take a walk in nature, and because you get so many benefits that way. You're moving, you're getting exposure to the outdoors and
right.
some, like, the soil, and you know the bird song, and you know, forest bathing, and you know, you can do it all at the same time, and sunlight.
Yeah, that's all the you know, it's Dr. Merriment, Dr. Sunshine, Dr. Diet, Dr. Quiet, you know, and it's the doctors that you don't make an appointment for, you just see every day and experience every day. Now, let's shift gears to nutrition, since March is National Nutrition Month, and I know you do a lot with your clients on focusing on the importance of nutrition. So tell us what type of program you usually put a person on, or what you recommend in your book as far as eating styles. And I hate to use the word diet, because people think, you know, they're going on a diet, meaning that eventually they're going to go off the diet. So
right,
they don't want that.
Exactly.
We want to change people's lifestyle or diet style, if you will. So if you could give us some tips on that.
Sure. I mean, actually, so how I usually talk to people about nutrition is it's very individualized. And I feel like what I've experienced on my own and in research is that the most important things are, you want to consume things that agree with your body and avoid things that your body considers toxic or that are creating symptoms in you. And I think that's more how I talk to people about nutrition, is it because it's so individual, and everyone has unique biochemistries, and they're going to respond differently to different foods, and some people have sensitivities. So I would say, and since my focus is on helping people improve their energy and well-being, what I've noticed with food is, you know, some foods really, to quote, I think, is it Annie Fio? I hope I'm saying her name correctly. She's like a raw food chef, and she was saying you want to consume foods that make your body sing, and you know, that you can really feel your energy and well-being, you know, improved and supported by nutrition, like really good deep nutrition, like fresh food, of course, is really, really important. Primarily alkaline is ideal. But, you know, and try to learn how to cook and cook, you know, at least some, and, you know, make it like an activity that you can do either on your own or with someone else. And because it's so important to eat healthy, fresh food, and really can also look at maybe what foods you're sensitive to, or either other environmental toxins, you know, like cosmetics, anything that might be irritating your body that you could improve your sleep or overall well-being or energy if you were to remove them or reduce them. So that's kind of, and you know, it's a huge, huge subject, but nutrition is, you know, again, like the foundation of sleep and exercise or movement, they can make a huge difference in how you feel. So they're worth exploring what's going to work for you.
And by speaking of food and nutrition, well, not nutrition, but food, I was looking at watching a History Channel special somewhere, and they were saying that McDonald's sells $10 million worth of Happy Meals every day.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but happy doesn't necessarily mean healthy. I mean, just because food makes you happy, a lot of people eat comfort foods. I'm not picking on McDonald's, but just to use as an example, you know, so many comfort foods make you feel good initially or for the short term, but they're bad for you in the long term. So
sometimes
also the food that you're most addicted to is the one that you crave the most. And so you really have to fine tune and, you know, seek out an expert like you to detect what those foods might be. And what's your favorite food? Let me put you on the spot. What's your, like, a favorite meal?
Oh, my gosh. My favorite food. It's probably like one of the superfoods, like spirulina or chlorella, or wheatgrass, because they make me feel so good. Other than that, I do like chocolate, so I don't know if that's not really considered.
Well, no,
I have to watch.
As long as it's 70% cacao or higher, I go for the 90, 95, or even 100. So just eat that very dark chocolate, and you'll be fine. Actually, you know, my favorite thing to make, Edie, is reservations. I really don't cook. I'm not a cook. I mean, the only reason I have a kitchen in my condo is it came with the condo. So,
it's decorative.
It's decorative. Yes. And I have new appliances to prove it.
Nice.
Anyway, okay. We need to take one last break of the hour, and when we come back, I want to have you share the top five list of lifestyle tweaks, including checking in with yourself more. That's number one, and we'll go through the other four when we come back from this brief break. I'm David Snow, here talking today with Edie Summers, the author of the memory book. Actually, the memory of health. I forgot the name of the book. Journey to Well-Being. Back after this with more information for your good health. So stick around if you want to stay healthy.
Noni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Noni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Noni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Noni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Noni fruit leather and lavender Noni lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Noni lotion and fruit leather for improved health and energy.
Hey, where's the Bif?
Are you referring to the beneficial bifidobacteria in your probiotic?
Yeah, I'm reading all the big claims on the label. But where are the bifidos listed? It doesn't even tell me how much I'm getting.
I know.
And the strains aren't listed separately. I read some research that said bifidobacteria might be helpful for constipation, gas, and bloating.
You're right, but the beneficial bifidobacteria only works if you consume enough of specific strains that have proven benefits. Plus, they have to arrive alive in your gut.
With True Bifido, you'll never have to ask, where's the Bif? Because all the strains in True Bifido are clinically proven live Bifido-based bacteria. And with True Bifido's patented delivery system, you'll receive potent strains that get delivered and stimulated for maximum results. True Bifido, the advanced probiotic for colon and immune health, is available at your nearest health store or online at master-supplements.com.
Welcome back to the show. David Snow on your radio. It's your weekly dose of verbal vitamins and the cure for the common radio show. And if you want to get a double dose of good health information, our show is rebroadcast later today on the station you're listening to right now. Just check their listings. And you can also go to the website after next Wednesday when we podcast the show at drhealthradio.com. That's drhealthradio.com, where we podcast all of the previously aired shows. So you can listen to it again if you want. All right, if you're just joining us, Edie Summers is my guest, the author of the memory book, The Memory of Health. I'm just kidding. Memory of Health. And Edie, how can people get a copy of the Memory of Health book?
Well, I appreciate you asking, David. So it's definitely on Amazon, and I also recommend Lulu.com because you can get it in color there, interior color. You can find it most online bookstores these days.
All right, the Memory of Health. Okay, give us the top five list of lifestyle tweaks. Number one being check in more. What do you mean by that?
Yes. So really, it's really important to be honest with yourself about how you're feeling. And even if you're not feeling good in the moment, if you name your feelings, it sometimes relieves that stress alone. And then how can you set an intention to feel better based on what motivates you? Like, why do you want to feel better? If you set an intention and know what your goals are, it makes it much easier to follow through, and you have to have a really strong why you want to feel better. Like for me, I wanted more energy. So I was very committed to following through on what I found would improve energy. So that's what I would say is number one, is just kind of check in more. And then number two is go offline more.
Oh, because, amen on that, yes.
We were talking about that earlier in terms of sleep hygiene, but I really feel like in our hyper-connected world, we're always on, and we're getting way overstimulated with, you know, pings and, you know, I mean, I love technology, but technology's goal, in addition to help us, is to keep us connected
to
it.
Of course, yes.
So you have to make a conscious decision to, you know, think about your own well-being, and there's so much beyond the screen.
Say, the larger and flatter the TV or monitor screen, the larger and fatter the TV or viewer. It's true, you know.
Well,
I mean, if you get screens all over the place, you're, you know, one thing about watching too much of anything on a screen, the chances of you being lean are much diminished because you're going to be sitting there doing, you know, being sedentary. Now, and also you were in your book, you say we're not meant to be connected or hyper-connected 24/7, which is so true. Edie, is that some people use their smartphones for an alarm clock. So they have it right at their bedside. And so, I can't tell you how many people, I don't call people anymore late. Because, I think, oh, I'll just leave a voicemail and they'll get it tomorrow. Well, no, they pick it up. It's like, hello?
They pick it up.
What are you doing answering the phone, Joe? Well, you know, in case anything happens, I mean, I have it by come on. Get a
No, I know. I totally get that. If I have to use my phone for an alarm, I keep it far away from me and I place my screen down.
Good.
And you can also put it in airplane mode so that the screen won't disturb you and neither will the notifications.
Okay.
But the alarm will still go off. So I know it's a challenge, but there's so much beyond the screen, including nature. I think nature is a huge antidote to the world
Absolutely.
Of tech. Okay. Yeah, and then the third one is cultivating a habit of hope. So if you're working on your health and habits, I personally recommend that you consider first trying creating a habit of hope. It gets easier over time, and basically what it means is that you're focusing on what you can control. And because in our modern world, it feels like there's so much that you can't control, and that can create a lot of anxiety, and it can cause sleep issues. And if you focus on what you can control, it makes you feel more optimistic. And it, like I said, it gets easier over time, and then you start being more open to what's present and possible. So it can be a habit, just like any other health and wellness habit. So.
Right, and don't watch too much news on TV or you know, on any device, because that'll really depress you and cause more stress. Okay, four is symptoms, recognizing symptoms, which are signals from your body that something's wrong. So give us a rundown on that.
Yes, so this is something I definitely started noticing after I developed chronic fatigue, is that I believe now I understand that it's called interoception, where your like organs and other parts of your body are sending you signals. But symptoms, you can think of them as signals from your body, or a communication or information from your body. So your body's trying to talk to you. It's trying to ask you to readjust your health or wellness or self-care habits. Try something else, so that maybe your energy or well-being or sleep will improve. So you can think of symptoms, you know, maybe people don't want to think of them as their friends or allies, but they're signals, and it's communication. So listening to those signals from your body and adjusting your behavior can oftentimes make your symptoms diminish. And then again, going back to Deepak Chopra, he has so many wise quotes, and this was down the road after I'd kind of already experienced this myself, and then he framed it in such a way that made so much sense. He says that mindfulness closes the gap between symptoms and well-being. I mean, you can't really say it better than that, and it's true.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so.
And then getting back to symptoms, Edie, pain is one of the best. I mean, it's a lifesaver, of course, in acute situations, but it's one of the best indicators that you need to adjust something or tweak something, and that not all is well with your mind or body if you're experiencing pain. And yet people, you know, if you see a instrument panel light go on in your automobile, you're not going to disconnect the wire that goes to that light. You're going to try to find out what's going, you know, warning you to repair or remedy in the automobile. And yet some people will just use a drug or a Band-Aid approach, or, you know, they treat the symptoms instead of getting to the root cause.
So. Oh, that's such a great metaphor. I love that, David. Yeah. And I've also, in my research, both with chronic pain and chronic fatigue, you know, there's so much you can do to kind of retool and re-regulate your nervous system that can reduce those signals as well, like pain signals and fatigue signals. So there's a lot you can do, but I absolutely love that metaphor.
Right.
You don't dismantle the whole thing.
right, exactly. And number five is connection is the currency of well-being. Talk about relationships and how important they are in our lives.
Yeah, they're critical. They're the most critical thing, actually. And Harvard did a study on longevity, and this is the number one thing that keeps us well, our relationships. And they recommend, you know, even if you feel like your relationships aren't that good, or, you know, there are risks, do what you can to repair them and try to, you know, no one's perfect. But relationships, we're very much interconnected beings. We're social beings. So we thrive with relationships and connections, and that's all forms of connection. So do what you can to, on your end, to repair your relationships and reach out to other people. It can make a huge, huge difference in how you feel. So, yeah, and I that reminds me of, that's kind of, I think, what you were referring to before with the mistake. I'm now realizing what you were talking about is, when I was younger, I didn't realize the importance of connection. I mean, a lot of people are young and
Edie, when you were young,
learning.
You knew everything back when you were young. Now we don't. That's the difference.
Well, I appreciate that vote of confidence, David.
Hey, we only have 2 minutes left, so let me get to a couple other questions I wanted to ask you. And also along the lines of what you were talking about with relationships, you know, you're familiar with the blue zones, the five zone areas of the world that where people live the longest and healthiest. Greece, Italy, Japan, Costa Rica, and Loma Linda, California. And
they all
have in common. They have strong social ties to their community, their families, et cetera, in addition to healthy lifestyles and, you know, all the other things we're talking about today. How important is it to keep a positive attitude, even if you don't have family connections or, you know, close friends or whatever, but just keeping a positive attitude? You talked earlier about hope.
Yes. So, and I appreciate that question. So even if you don't have strong ties, which you can work on building, anyone can do that, even with the internet, try to feel that you're connected to the whole living universe, because in truth you are. And, you know, you have the company of the whole universe at your side, even if you are feeling alone, and you want to do everything you can to keep your hope alive and stay connected, feel connected.
Great. Thank you so much. And give us your the name of your book and how to get it once more, real quick.
Sure, thank you. Yeah, it's called The Memory of Health, and you can find it on Amazon, lulu.com, barnesandnoble.com, and just about any bookstore.
All right. Okay, and it contains a great list of resources in the back for readers to access as well. Thanks so much, Edie Summers. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, David. I really appreciate it.
Okay, next week, an expert on probiotic nutrition as we continue National Nutrition Month, as well as digestive wellness, plus all of our regular features and news you can use. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm David Snow, reminding you that it isn't how long you live, it's how you live long. Aloha. Have a very healthy week.